says in your word, it's the Holy Spirit that sheds abroad the love of Jesus in our heart. So, Lord, we just welcome you here. We welcome you, Lord, where everybody is listening at home. And, Lord, we just pray your Holy Spirit would breathe and come. And I pray you would minister to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. ask your healing to come now in Jesus' name, that lungs would be strong, that inflammation would go. And Lord, we just speak your healing and your love on all of those suffering with COVID right now. Lord, we thank you for Mike Swain. Thank you, Lord, for getting him through issues with his heart. Thank you that he's home. We pray, Father, for he and Sandy. Lord, that you would sustain both of them, that Mike would recover, and Lord, he would recover strength. We pray your mercy. Lord, thank you for your mercy that he got through that. Lord, we just thank you for him. And Lord, we ask your healing touch just to continue to be upon him. We pray, Father, for Don Burmeister. And Lord, we ask you to bless him, to comfort him, to hold him close. And Lord, all of those that are alone and can't be with loved ones, Lord, in our congregation that are just alone, Father, we ask that, I just thank you for the promise in your word that there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And Lord, we just ask your comfort, we ask your peace, and we ask your presence upon all the lonely ones, all of the suffering ones. Father, we ask you to bless them and heal them and just come alongside them. We thank you, Lord, for Don Wright, that he's recovering well from back surgery. We just ask continued healing on Don. We pray, Father, for Ben Eubanks. Jesus, we ask mercy on him. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that nothing is too difficult for you. Lord, you healed people in the New Testament that were paralyzed and couldn't get off of their mat. And Lord, one touch, and they were up, and they were walking, and they were leaping and praising God. So, Father, we ask you to touch Ben. We ask your mercy and your healing to come upon him. We pray for his wife, Jan, Lord, that you would surround her with your comfort, surround her with your peace. We pray for Les, John Berg's stepdad. Lord, we ask your peace and your mercy upon him, your strength upon him. We pray, Father, for Mark Fisher with cancer. We thank you, Lord, for the good reports that we've received from him this week. Lord, we ask your continued sustaining grace upon him, healing and eradication of that cancer in the name of Jesus. We pray for David Gross. Lord, we pray, we thank you, Jesus. It's been up and down with him, but Lord, we ask for his heart to be strong. And Lord, that all of that to even out. What has been up and down, we ask for evenness there. We pray for strength for that heart, healing on that heart, that that pacemaker would work. And Lord, we just ask you for healing and strength on his heart in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. It was Henry Imlink's first birthday. And Lord, it was up and down when that baby was first born. And Lord, I think of that line in Amazing Grace. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It's grace that's brought me grace safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. We thank you for 1 year. We thank you, Lord, that that little boy is thriving. We give you the glory for that. And Lord, as he's going to have more surgery to heal that cleft palate, Lord, we just ask your hand to be upon, continue to be upon him. We ask blessings on his parents, and Lord, Jacob and Danielle, and Lord, just bless them. We thank you, and we rejoice in that life. We rejoice in that baby. And Lord, I know that we have first-time grand, I think of David, Dixie Travelstead, and Mike, Lord, and their bless the offering. Lord, we pray for, we thank you for the hospital here in Des Moines. We thank you, Father, for the frontline workers. And Lord, we bless them in Jesus' name. We ask you to sustain them and bless them and all of our frontline workers, Lord, across the country. Jesus, we ask you to protect them and give them grace and just be a shield all around about them. We give this offering to you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Christmas sermon I intended to preach today, but that I can't get away. I can't get away. I've entitled the sermon, A Holy Ghost Christmas. I can't get away from talking about the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And the Lord just wants us to, we need to know who he is. And but the Nicene Creed is one of the best statements on the Holy Spirit that I've ever found. And the early church wrote these creeds. You know why they wrote them? Because there was a lot of crazy stuff going around. And if you read at the very end in the book of Matthew, it talks about one of those lies that was going on. And Jesus died on the cross. He was raised from the dead, rolled that stone away, walked out of that tomb, walked out of there alive. And it says, and I'm going to read this, Matthew chapter 28. The women have seen him. Jesus says, go tell my disciples. Matthew chapter 28, verse 11. While they were going, behold, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests all that had taken place. And when they had assembled with the elders and taken counsel, they gave a sufficient sum of money to the soldiers and said, tell people, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if this comes to the guard's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. So they took the money and did as they were directed. And this story has been spread to this day. And there were a lot of lies that were spread about Jesus. And this one about, well, he didn't really walk out of that tomb. He really didn't do that. So there's bribes. And then one of the other big lies was that, well, Mary, she wasn't a virgin when she gave birth. And so all of those things that were going around in the early church. And so they wrote these creeds to say, this is what we believe. This is what happened. Saw it, we experienced it. And it's interesting, in both the Apostles' Creed and in the Nicene Creed, it talks about Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit. You've heard that? How many times? Hundreds of times. Maybe 1,000 times. But I had a profound thought this week that it's never, ever, ever struck me before. And it's so simple that it's a little bit embarrassing, because I may say this to you and you're like, well, yeah, duh. But it's so profound, and I just want to encourage you with it this morning. So we're going to look at that very familiar passage, Luke chapter 1. So what? What does good orthodoxy have to do with us? April, do you know how bad this Christmas is? We're not able to gather together. We're not able. This has been a tough year. I don't need good orthodoxy. I need Jesus. Yeah, you do. Now listen to this. Luke chapter 1. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've shown me. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to declare your word today, that I would be faithful in declaring what you've given me. It's so simple. It's so I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to come. Anoint your word. Anoint me. Holy Spirit, come. In Jesus' name, amen. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. And Mary said to the angel, how will this be, since I'm a virgin? And the Lord answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, portion of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. But they had no child, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest, when his division was on duty, according to the custom of the priesthood, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." How many years have you been praying that prayer? They were barren. 20, 30, 40 years. He's been praying this prayer. He's been praying it for so long, he'd given up. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard." Some of you need to hear that today. Your prayer has been heard. "And your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." You ever notice in Scripture that answers to prayer always come later than expected? And they always come when you think all hope is lost. Verse 14, "And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb." Interesting. Holy Spirit's all around these birth narratives. He breathes, Elizabeth, who was too old, Zechariah, but God did the impossible. And their son, it says, their son John will be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Flipping over to verses 39 through 45. Elizabeth is pregnant. Mary probably is now too. And she goes to visit Elizabeth. She was a relative. It may have been an aunt, a great aunt, but she goes to visit her relative. Guess who else shows up here? Luke chapter 1, verse 39. "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. She entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud voice, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord shall come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.'" John the Baptist, a baby in a womb, was prophesied about him that he was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth. And in the womb, he heard Mary. And when Mary spoke, who else is in there? Jesus, conceived by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit in John, the Spirit in Mary. It's like, whoa! And there was joy in that. There was joy in that. Where else does the Holy Ghost appear in the birth narratives? You flip over, Jesus has been born. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. There's an old man, and he's been waiting a long, long, long time. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. "Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 'Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word.
For my eyes have seen your salvation that you've prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his mother and father marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that the thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." It's fascinating to me. Holy Spirit in John the Baptist as a baby, it's in his mama. Jesus conceived of the Holy Spirit. Old man, the Spirit of God was upon him. God told him what was coming and revealed to him, and he was waiting, and he saw it, the promise, with his own eyes. And you go where else? And you just keep following through this whole thing of Holy Ghost. You know, just thinking about a Holy Ghost Christmas and just thinking about Jesus. And the profound thought, and I'm going to fill this out, is that Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, by God himself. He's born. Grow up. His cousin is out preaching. And what does it say about him? Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. This is John the Baptist now. Luke chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. Spirit of God is on him. He's calling people to repentance. Repent, repent, repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. What do we have to repent for? People were coming to him. They were repenting of just their own arrogance and their pride. And there was fire on him. And people are hearing the call to repentance. And they are. They're repenting. And they're being baptized in the Jordan River. And it says this about him. Isaiah the prophet, he's out preaching, and it says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." This is a prophetic promise about John the Baptist. "Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall become straight, and rough places shall become level, and all shall see the salvation of our God." He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to be baptized him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" Woo! He's bold, wasn't he? "Bear fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'Well, we have Abraham as our father. We're good.' As I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds ask him, "What shall we do?" And he says, you need to repent. And he's going on, and he says this about Jesus. In verses 15 through 17, the people were in expectation. All were questioning in their hearts concerning John. Is he the Messiah? Is it him? And John said, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." How and why is Jesus able to baptize with the Holy Spirit? He's able to do that because he's filled with the Holy Spirit. He is baptized with John in the Jordan, not because he needed to repent of anything, but to identify with us. To identify with us. And that's why he was born. He came. And it's so beautiful. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Why? So he could do what no one could do. We can't live the perfect life. God's law is up here, and we're down here, and we fall short. But God sent his Son, conceived of the Spirit, so he could live that perfect life. And he's filled now with the Holy Spirit, and he's able to baptize in the Spirit. Luke chapter 4, after Jesus is baptized, he's tempted. What's it say about him? It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and he's tempted. And then he stands under that. Verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and to re- God to be glorified by all. And he preaches, and he heals, and he delivers. The Spirit of God is upon him, and it's amazing. People are being, 5,000 people are fed, people are being healed, lame arms are being growing, blind eyes are being opened, crippled people are walking. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. It's a fulfillment of Isaiah 61. He's the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. He's preaching good news. He's raising the dead. He's healing the sick. He's doing all of it. And yet, what was Jesus? He ministered in the Spirit. And what did Jesus come to do? What was his ultimate purpose? Was it just to come and perform miracles? Is that his ultimate purpose? You look over in Matthew, and Matthew's the birth narratives of Matthew. And the angel comes to Joseph, and he says, "And you shall call him Jesus, for he will save people from their sins." Jesus came, and his ultimate purpose was to save us. When Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night, he comes to him. "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus is dialoguing with him. And Jesus says, "You must be born again. You must be born of the Spirit." Jesus was conceived of the Spirit. And this is my thought. This is my thought. Everything about being a Christian is about the Spirit. Everything. Can we become a Christian without the Spirit? No. We must be born again. We must be born of the Spirit. The cross and the flame on our hymnal. We believe in the cross, don't we? We believe that he was born to die. And the cross, Jesus bore the punishment. He bore it all. He died on the cross. He was raised from the dead. And he ascended into heaven. And when he ascended into heaven, what did the Father send? He sent the Holy Spirit. And I'm so afraid that so many of us, we believe in the cross, but we don't believe and walk in the fullness of the Spirit. And we need a Holy Ghost Christmas. Our traditions, we can't do this year. Family, we can't do. And I've been seeing things, well, Christmas is canceled. No, Christmas isn't canceled. Because what is Jesus' name? His name is Emmanuel. Jesus was born, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. He walked in the Spirit. He ministered in the Spirit. He breathed on the disciples even before he ascended, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Wait in Jerusalem. Wait, and the promise is going to come." And they waited, and they came, and he came like tongues of fire, and he gave them boldness, and he gave them courage, and he equipped them, and he empowered them. Our traditions may be canceled. Our family celebrations may be canceled, but we need a Holy Ghost Christmas. He is with us. His Holy Spirit is called, it's called Paraclete. That's like the Holy Ghost Comforter I preached a couple weeks ago. He will come alongside. He will comfort you. He will encourage you. If you've never been born again and you've never been born of the Spirit, this is the Christmas to do that. If you are lonely and afraid, ask the Holy Spirit to come and have a Holy Ghost Christmas. If you are sad, if you are lonely, if you are depressed, if you are anxious, have a Holy Ghost Christmas. And we need him more than we've ever needed him before. And what I believe, one of the things that the Lord is doing in this hour is he's bringing us back to the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. What does good orthodoxy have to do with said. Jesus said this. He said this. This is a promise. He said, your Father in heaven, if an earthly father, if we were to ask our earthly father for bread, is he going to give us a snake? How much more will the Father, your heavenly Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He's not, the Holy Spirit is not some kind of something off on the side, but the cross and the flame, that's our United Methodist symbol. We are to be people of the cross, and we are to be people of the Spirit. We need both. And let him, all the only thing that's keeping us from the peace and everything he wants to give us is our own resistance. That's it. The promise is, if you ask, is no stranger. Behold your King. Before him lowly bent. Behold your King. Before him lowly bent. Truly, he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy, in grateful chorus raise, we let all within us praise his holy name. Christ is the Lord. Oh, praise his name forever. His power and glory evermore proclaim. His power and glory evermore, evermore proclaim. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus, we thank you. You were conceived by the Holy Spirit. There's power in your very DNA. Power to heal. Power to save. Power to deliver. Power to break the chains. To break the chains of oppression. To break the chains of bondage. To break the chains of depression, of fear. All mental illness can go in the name of Jesus Christ. So I just release joy on your people. I release peace on your people. And Lord, make us hungry, and may we cry out to you. I thank you for the Paraclete, surround sound Holy Spirit, that you are with us, that you want to walk with us. May we know you as Emmanuel more than we've ever known you before. As we cannot do what we've done in the past, I just invite you in, Holy Spirit, to your people, to wherever they are. I just release your glory. I release your presence. I release your joy. And Lord, make us hungry. Make us hungry. Make us hungry for you. And may we have more than ever before, and in the coming days, a Holy Ghost Christmas. In Jesus' name.